The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. In our Book of Concord, the Lutheran Confessions, remember this from confirmation class? In Article 17, concerning the return of Christ to judgment, we confess and say this. It's also taught that our Lord Jesus Christ will return on the last day to judge, to raise all the dead, to give eternal life and eternal joy to those who believe and are elect, but to condemn the ungodly and the devils to hell and eternal punishment. This we believe, this is the confession of our denomination, and this is the Christian faith, that we believe that Jesus came, that he died for our sins, that he was raised from the dead on the third day, that he ascended and is at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven, and that he's coming again. We believe in the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, the King, on the clouds of heaven. I want to talk about that with you today and start out by asking, are you ready for it? Are you prepared for the Lord's return? Because we tend not to really be ready for things, even when they come to us in this life, especially if they come to us by surprise. Remember when you were in grade school and the teacher gave you a pop quiz? Were you ready for it? No. How about when a boss appears at your workstation at work unexpectedly? Not ready for it. Or when friends come and visit your house and it's really not in order and it doesn't look as clean as you'd like. Or how about when you're driving over the highway hill and there's a policeman hiding on the other side to catch you by surprise? You know what? We tend not to be ready for things in this life, even when we're expecting them, how much less when they come to us by surprise. And Jesus tells us, though, that his return will be a surprise at an unexpected time. Jesus says this. Let's listen to Mark chapter 13, verse 34. It says, "It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and finds you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch," says Jesus. So are you ready for it? Are you prepared for our Lord's return? Because you know what? He came once in history when the saints had waited for a long time, but he came. We're waiting for a long time as well, for centuries. He's going to come again at an appointed time. Are you ready for it? All right. We're to be found awake. We're to be found watching. We're to be found alert and looking for his coming, ready to receive him on that day. So let's talk about that today, about being ready for our Lord's surprise and unexpected return. But it won't take us by surprise if we're looking for it. What do we need to know to be ready for it? And what's Jesus tell us about his return? Well, first off, Jesus says, first thing you need to do is to be certain that my return is coming, to be sure that I'm coming, that I will return on the clouds of heaven. Because guess what? If you don't believe that, how are you ever going to be ready for it? How are you going to prepare for something if you don't think it's going to actually happen? But Jesus gives us ample proof in his scriptures that he will come again, one day, at an appointed time. Are you ready for it? In the scriptures, if you just look at the parables alone, and I looked at 24 parables this week of the 48 or so I looked at overall, 24 of them, Jesus is speaking of his return. Almost everything he ever said points to that day. I'll give you an example, a couple, since God's word never returns void, let's look at a couple. Matthew 25, Jesus says, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be compared to 10 maidens who went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. And as the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight there was the cry, 'Behold the bridegroom, come out to meet him.'" What is he saying to us there? Jesus is the bridegroom. We're like the virgins. Some of us would be wise. Some are foolish. You're wise if you're prepared for it with the flasks of oil. He is coming again. In that same chapter, Jesus says, it's like a man going on a journey, and he entrusts to others some of his property. To one he gives 5 talents, another gives 2. You know the story. To another he gives 1 talent. They go out at once and trade with them. One of the guys buries it in the ground. It says, now after a long time, say that, long time. Thank you. The master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. What's Jesus teaching in the parable of the talents? He will come again after a long time to settle accounts. So we need to be ready for that. He says, I'm coming soon on the clouds to repay everyone for what he has done, bringing my recompense, he says. Consider this parable of the marriage feast. Let your loins be girded and your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the marriage feast, that when he comes, they may open to him at once when he knocks, when he comes and knocks. And then one more in Matthew 25, when the Son of Man comes in his glory. When he what? Comes in his glory and all the angels with him. He'll sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations. And he'll separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. So these are only, friends, just 3 or 4 parables of the 24 I looked at that directly speak of Jesus' return. And he's coming for judgment and for salvation as king. And bear in mind that these are just a small handful of the parables, not to mention all the other things Jesus spoke in direct words to us, such as our gospel reading today, when the high priest was kind of getting ticked off that the trial wasn't progressing to condemn Jesus. He stands up and he says to Jesus, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus answered, I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. So how many more verses and scriptures do we need? One would be enough. The whole scripture is filled with teachings of his second coming. So there's only 2 options. Either Jesus is a liar, he's fibbing to you, or he's telling you the truth. And if he's telling you the truth, it's going to happen. So we need to be ready for it and looking forward to it, for he is our loving king. Are you going to be found ready? Found watching? Found alert? Well, next Jesus says to you, you need to know that my return, friends, will be unexpected. It will take the world by surprise. He says in Matthew 24, but of that day and of that hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. Think about that. In Jesus' earthly life, he says, even the Son of God doesn't know when that day is. Exactly. Now, maybe he does now in heaven. I don't know. I don't have a scripture on that. But only the Father knows that day fixed. When I woke up this morning, I set my alarm clock last night. And it went off earlier than I'd expected. Okay? Beep, beep, beep. You know? And it has a day fixed. The Father knows that day when that trumpet will sound. No one else. And Jesus goes on to say, as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they did not know, until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Watch, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Consider the days of Noah with me. You know what? We're all sons of Noah. Isn't that cool? Every one of us here comes from his stock, if you will, descendants. Noah and his family did not get taken by surprise by the day of the flood, did they? Why? Because they were told about it and they believed. Through faith, they knew it was coming. And so when the flood came, it didn't shock them. How about everybody else in the world in those days? They were not ready for it because they did not believe. Do you think that all the people on the earth there had no idea that this flood was coming? Seriously? Noah's out here building an ark the size of a tanker ship in the middle of a field, and that's going to go unnoticed? Do Do you know the scriptures called Noah a herald, a preacher of righteousness? For 120 years, while he's building that ark, he's preaching this. They weren't ready because they didn't believe it. Do you really think it's going to go without notice that, you know, hey, Bob, did you notice how Noah's been coming down to Ace Hardware every day for the last 120 years, buying up all the gopher wood and pitch? What's up with that? No way. They knew about it. The trouble was they didn't believe it, and that's why they were taken by surprise. We are not to be taken by surprise. Peter says, scoffers are going to come in the last days with scoffing, following their own ungodly passions and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things have continued as they were from the beginning of creation. Don't you think about that? Look, it's been 2,000 years since Jesus came, right? Seems like a long time. Is he really coming? Scoffers are going to come and ask that, but Peter says, look, God came in the days of Noah according to his word, and by that same word, he's coming again. So Noah was prepared because he believed. He was not taken by surprise by that day. Will you be believing this morning and ready for that event in history when Jesus will return? Because guess what? He came once in history on a particular real day at an exact time, and he's going to come again in the same way. So we need to be ready for it. So beware of anyone who says to you he knows that day is not coming. Secondly, beware of anybody who says that they know when that day is, right? Remember that whole big farce with the Mayan calendar scenario? You know, the world is going to end in December of 2012 on this day. You know what? I knew that that is at least the one day he's not coming. Because that was just so ridiculous. When I heard that, I just dismissed it without even a breath of a thought. Because I know no one knows the day or the hour. And we need to be on guard then, because the Jehovah's Witnesses traditionally said, the end of the world is in 1914. 1914 came and went, no end of the world. Oh, we meant 1915. End of the world, no end. Well, in 1920, all world governments will end. Well, 1920 came, went, with no end of world governments. The world will end in 1925, and Christ will set up his millennial kingdom, paradise on earth. 1925 came and went, no millennial kingdom. 1975 is the end of the world, and Jesus will return. And at that point, they stopped making any future prophecies about the end of the world. 100% failure rate. So beware of anyone who says he knows the day or that day is not coming. Jesus says, take heed. Don't let anyone lead you astray. For many, many will come in my name saying, lo, I am he and the time is at hand. Do not go after them. Do not. For of that day and of that hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. Will you, like Noah, be ready and found awake and watching for it? Jesus next says, keep this in mind. I will return but once more and visibly on the clouds of heaven. Say that. But once more.
Once more.
Visibly. You know that was prophesied in the Old Testament? Daniel says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days, God, and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion and glory and the kingdom. And all peoples, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, one that shall not be destroyed. Did that come to pass in Jesus, or is it? Jesus says to the high priest, I am the Son of the Blessed, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power, and coming with the clouds of heaven. So say it again, visibly, but once more. And that's why we need to be aware of another teaching that is in the world today, namely, one by our beloved, and I mean that sincerely, our beloved evangelical brothers and sisters, a teaching called premillennialism. Can you all see this? Well, too bad. That's getting that. This is a teaching that is actually held by really millions of our brothers with whom we share so much in the faith. But here, they believe, like we believe, that Jesus came once in history, born of a virgin, that he died on the cross for our sins, that he was raised from the dead, he ascended up to God, where he's right now at the right hand of God during the age of the church, But then they believe that Jesus, in the rapture, have you heard of the Left Behind series? Okay? They believe Jesus will return invisibly on that day and come really halfway down to earth, where the church will be raptured and caught up to God. In other words, this is where you hear the story of, you know, planes are flying, and the pilot and the co-pilot are Christians, everybody else is a non-Christian, and they are caught up. They just disappear. Every believer on earth disappears from the earth. They're caught up to God. So planes are crashing, buses are driving off into rivers, all pandemonium breaks loose. There's not a believer left on earth. But, so the believers are up here with Christ in heaven for 7 years during the great tribulation in which the Antichrist appears. And then Jesus will return visibly a second time and destroy Antichrist, set up a literal 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. And at the end of it, even though everything is perfect on earth, guess what? There's millions upon millions upon millions of wicked people again. How's that happen if Jesus is reigning on earth? Answer, I have no answer. That's not biblical. And then at that point, Jesus will somehow go up and come down again for a third return, the last judgment, where some will go to heaven and unbelievers to hell. We don't believe this. What do they use for this verse? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, shall be caught up together, caught up, raptured, to meet the Lord in the air, and will always be the Lord. So we'll be caught up, raptured, and meet him up there. That is a wrong belief. That's the wrong interpretation of that verse. Why? One return, two return, three return, invisible return. What did we say from the scriptures about the return? It will be visible and, but once more. There is one more coming of our Lord. So that brings us to what we believe scripturally is this one. Namely, that our Lord Jesus came down, just like our evangelical brothers believe, that he died for our sins, that he rose again, he ascended to God, he's at the right hand of God during the age of the church. The thousand-year reign of Christ, spoken of in Revelation 20, is symbolic for the church age. And on one day, soon to come, on the last day, he'll return visibly, but once more, on the clouds of heaven for the final judgment, believers to heaven and unbelievers to damnation. And so that's what we believe. Why do we believe this? The scriptures teach. And just as it is appointed for men to die once, and after that comes the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting. But one more return, and visible. Jesus says, lo, if they say he's in the wilderness, don't go out. If they say he's in the inner rooms, don't believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see. They will what? See, visible. See the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he'll send out angels with his loud trumpet call, and they'll gather the elect from the four winds and from the end of heaven, one of end of heaven to the other. So, but one return and visible we are to look for, Jesus says. So when you hear the other preaching, don't let that lead you astray, Jesus says, but believe the truth. And Jesus says also, you can keep alert as to when this is all going to take place, because I'm giving you signs to look for. Isn't that gracious of our God? So that we might be kept awake. He says it's going to be preceded by signs. From the fig tree. Check it out. Look at this tree. Learn its lesson, Jesus says. When the fig tree starts putting out its fruits, you know that summer's near, right? Right? We don't have fig trees. I know. Okay, when the mango tree starts putting out mangoes, you know that the season for mangoes is near. You get it now? So also, when you see all these things that I'm telling you take place, you know that he is near at the very gates. And what are the things we're to look for? Wars, Rumors of wars, pestilences, famines in certain places, earthquakes, a great peace amongst the nations at the same time as wars. There'll be a great falling away in the church, appearance of Antichrist, tribulation, and the gospel will reach the four corners of the earth. Friends, you know what that looks like to me? The newspaper clippings from the last 100 years, especially. His return, friends, is imminent. Jesus says, I'm coming soon. Say soon.
Soon.
Hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. Surely I am coming soon, Revelation 22. But beware also, it may seem like a long time. Remember the parable of the talents? Now, after a long time, the master of the servants came to settle accounts. The parable of the foolish virgins and the wise, as the bridegroom was delayed. Say delayed.
Delayed.
The parable of the marriage feast. If he comes in the second or the third watch and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. Long time, delayed, second or third watch. It may be a long time. So if it takes 2,000 years from his resurrection till his coming, don't let that fool you. Peter said, one day is as with the Lord is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. From Adam to Noah, about 2,000 years, 2 days. From Noah to Jesus, 2,000 years about or so, about two days. From Jesus to us, 2,000 years, about 2 days. All seems pretty symmetrical, doesn't it? So don't be fooled. He is coming soon. If it seems long, wait for him. He'll surely come. And as Paul declared to the crowd at Athens, so now I declare to you, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent, because he's fixed a day, upon which he'll judge the world in righteousness. And of this he's given assurance to all men by raising him from the dead. And when he comes, what will that day be like? Well, John saw in Revelation the sky vanished like a scroll that's rolled up. And every mountain and island was removed from its place. In other words, this whole old world is going to be put away like old clothing. When you go to bed at night, sorry for the personal note, do you go to bed naked? Now, what I'm saying is, do you wear your clothes to bed that you wore during the day to work in? Probably not, right? If you're like me, you take off the old clothes, you play basketball with the laundry basket, hopefully you make it, and you chuck it in there because you're getting rid of old clothes to make ready for a fresh new pair for a fresh new day. The sky will vanish like a scroll that's rolled up. Every mountain and island removed from its place to make way for a new world in which righteousness dwells that God's prepared for you. Isn't that great? But it'll be a day of judgment as well. Then the kings of the earth and the great men, the generals, the rich and the strong, everyone, slave and free, hid in the caves and among the rocks, calling to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who seated on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand before it? And as Jesus said in Isaiah 28, prophesying, it will be sheer terror to understand the message. Think about that, would you? Think about the terror. As were the days of Noah, and it came and swept them, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. But it will also be a day of great salvation for those who love the King. It says, he will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. He's coming to save you. And he will swallow up death forever. Think about that with me for a minute. He will swallow up death forever. He will swallow up death forever. He will swallow up death forever. And God will wipe away tears from all of our faces. What has made you sad in your life? Have you cried tears over many a thing? You know, for every one of those, as David says, he puts all your tears in a bottle. And he's going to wipe away every one of those tears from all faces. And he's going to put everlasting joy upon your head instead and take sorrow and sighing and make it flee away forever. It says, we will say on that day, this is our God. We've waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We've waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. for that will be the day of our resurrection. As in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Christ is like the first fruits, the crop that comes up first, the first to rise from the dead, but he's not the last. You will be raised on the day of our Lord's coming, raised up with power, raised up with glory, with a body that is fit to inhabit the better and more perfect world forever that God has prepared for you. For Jesus must reign until he's put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. He'll get rid of it. For God has put all things in subjection under Jesus' feet. And then when everything is subject to Jesus, finally, on that last day, Jesus will turn, subject himself to God the Father, that God be praised, God will be all things to everyone. What a beautiful, happy ending God has for your life. Are you tired today? Are you upset at things that are going on in your life? Do you know that God has written? I mean, how do the actors in movies act so boldly when they go through their scenes? You know why? Because someone wrote it out for them ahead of time. They know how it's going to end. You can be happy and joyful and bold because you know your end has been written by God, and it's a joyous, blessed end. Oh, blessed day, come, Lord Jesus. And so, final question, or final point is, you know what? Jesus has prepared us for that day of his coming by his first coming. He prepares us by first coming for the second coming, because in that coming, he gave his life for you. He gave his life for the life of the world, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Will you receive that message in the gospel today, that God loves you? God so loved you? That God so loved you, he gave his son for you, that you believing in him might not perish, but you might have eternal life is his will for you. For God didn't send his son into the world to condemn it. He sent his son into the world to save it, that the world might be saved through him. And he who believes in him is not condemned. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. So God keep us for that day, and let us keep each other awake. For it is like a man going on a journey when he leaves his home and puts his servants in charge, each with his own work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Amen.